Pastor called me and he said, be prepared. And I know what that really means. When he says, be prepared to preach, that means you're going to preach. And it'd be a surprise to me if he didn't go back on that. So, Pastor, thank you for the opportunity to preach. We're going to be in the book of Malachi. You know, I love food. I think we all do. We're Baptist. I saw a pastor enjoying fried chicken today, and he's a good Baptist. Someone told me today when I was, or this week when I was out in eastern Kentucky, they said, if you're a Baptist, you must like fried chicken. I'm not that good of a Baptist. I don't love fried chicken, but it's okay. but I praise the Lord. We were in West Virginia last Friday, came back here Saturday, preached Sunday, left Sunday evening to be in eastern Kentucky, preached Monday night, Tuesday night, and then another church Wednesday night, came back Thursday, and I'm excited. If anyone's been revived, I have been revived, and I'm excited about that. But I love food. I love to taste food. Anytime I travel, I love to taste whatever's from the area, whether it's in Argentina, South America, or it's on the West Coast, East Coast, West Virginia. I've even ate hot dogs with chili and coleslaw in West Virginia. I mean, I've tried all the flavors. I love food. And one thing I know, and I know some might disagree, but there's nothing like having a fresh plate of food. Now, pasta is good the second and third day, but let me tell you, when you make a fresh pot of sauce and you smother that over some freshly made pasta, there is nothing like it. Yeah, I mean, Sister Amanda, she makes fresh pasta and it is good. Pastor makes sauce and it is good. You combine those two and it is great. But there is nothing like having something fresh. And we would all agree, we love having fresh food. You know, you ever go to a restaurant and you eat something, you go, it tastes like it was made yesterday. And you're disappointed. Why? Because it's not the best. It's not the very best. Well, let me tell you, something the Lord's really been tugging on my heart about is how much we don't always give the very best. How often we end up giving God only what's left over. The leftovers of our time, the leftovers of our money, the leftovers of our encouragement, whatever it is, a lot of times we end up giving God only what's left over. And in Malachi, we see that he had a message from his prophet to the people, especially to the priest, about giving leftovers. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it is time that we stop giving God the leftovers. He never seems to give us the leftovers. Now, I know some people look like when God made them, they were made out of leftover parts, but that's not true. God always gives us the best, does he not? I mean, you know, I look at just how God has blessed us as a church. I told a couple people today, they said, oh man, things are going great downstairs. And I said, yeah, but I'm praying that it goes greater up here so you all can go move and build a new building next door and we can get this one. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Amen? That would be awesome. He always gives us the best. As a matter of fact, he gave us the very best when he sent his only begotten son to this earth. Amen? Amen? And he sent us the very best. There was no other option. Because why? Because he loves us. And he wants us to have the best. Now, that doesn't mean he wants us to have BMWs and Mercedes-Benz all the time. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have those. I'd love to have one. But what I'm saying is when he gives us something, it is the very best thing for us. He gave us a son. He gave us salvation. Those are the very best things we could ever have. I tell you what, I feel like I have the best calling in the world. He gave me that calling. Amen. You know, he gave you the best calling to be a mom, a dad, and he gave you the exact children that you needed to have. Amen? I tell you what, I look at my kids and I kind of forget what life was like without having them. And we were married for a long time, but you know what? God gave me the exact best I could ever ask for. They're not perfect. They look kind of nerdy right now. They're wearing glasses. It's kind of weird. But you know what? God gives us the very best. And you know what? He wrapped it all up in the best love letter he could have ever written for us. Yet we find ourselves many times, we say, amen, God gave us the best, but do we give him the best? Right. Let's just read a few verses here in the book of Malachi, chapter 1. We're going to read in verse 6 down through verse 10. And I'm not going to promise not to preach long, because that would get me in trouble, and I'll preach long. But I plan not to be long tonight. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you? O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there, even among you, that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Tonight, I want us to look at a few leftovers that maybe even we are giving, just like the priest. First of all, I want us to look at the leftover of honor. Honor. We see there in verse 6, the very first part, he says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? You know, as a child, I heard those verses in the scriptures that said, honor thy father and thy mother. And you know, the older we get, the more we really do try to honor our parents, I think. I was thinking about pastor's wife, how often she goes up and she takes care of her parents, because there is honor in taking care of your parents. I shared this with another church. I remember the day that my dad had passed away, and I remembered one thing that he had asked me for years is, or told me, he didn't ask, he told me, he said, when I die, you're going to preach my funeral. And even in death, I wanted to honor my father. Even in his death, I wanted to fulfill what he wanted. I wanted to be there, I wanted to preach. And he said, and I don't want you just to preach, I want you to preach the gospel. I want my lost family members to hear the gospel again. He said, I've shared it with them, but I want you to preach it again. You know what my heart's desire was? To honor my father. Even to that very last moment when he was gone, but his body was there, I still wanted to give him honor. You know, maybe we don't even think about this. I think sometimes as a teenager, I did some dumb things. As a young adult, I did some dumb things. But there were some things I just could not do. Because I always thought, What if my dad found out? What if he found out what I was doing? I wanted to honor him. The word of God here, the Lord has sent a message. He says, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? If you're willing to honor your earthly father, why aren't you willing to honor your heavenly father? You see, when I think of honor, I almost have that idea in my mind of when a king walks in into a building or wherever it might be, or some will rise or some will bow, but there is a level of honor. There's this display of showing who that person is that has just arrived. Matter of fact, in our court system, when a judge walks into a room and we refer to a judge as Your Honor, what do all those that are in the room do? They stand. And yet, at the mention of God's name, we do nothing. Knowing that He's in our presence, because the Scripture says where two or three are gathered in His name, there He would be, and yet we lack honor. Yeah. Now, as a matter of fact, God is not the king of our lives many times. He's the king of our emergencies. And we want to honor Him when we need something. Is that not right? Have you ever noticed in your life, we're all, I think, at least I know I'm guilty of this sometimes. When there's an urgent need, when there's a crisis, what happens? Oh, you want to clean up your life right away so God will bless you all of a sudden. You want to honor Him. You want Him to see you as someone that honors Him as King of Kings. But when everything is running smooth and everything's going great, we forget about that King. Our actions, our speech, our thoughts, they're different. Our time spent in God's Word, our time on our knees, is different. And we do not honor Him as the Father who knows best, the Father who gives us His best. He says, if I'm a father, where is my honor? How do we honor Him? Well, we give Him the leftovers. And I don't mean this in a way to offend, but sometimes Sunday is our leftovers. I know that sounds mean and harsh. A lot of times that's the only time that we begin to honor God, and it's only for a few hours. We honor Him as our Father in our prayer life when we're here. What we understand is honor is not just done in the presence of other believers. It's throughout our lives. It's the moment when no one else is watching. Do we honor our parents? Do we honor our Father in heaven? We carry His name, you know, and you ever think about that, you know, some people will say, oh, I know who that boy is. He's so-and-so's son. I wonder if people could say that about us and our Heavenly Father. Oh, I know who that is. That's His son. That's His daughter. He says, where is mine honor if I'm a father? Not only in our honor, but we give Him our leftovers in our fear. In our fear. There in verse 6, He says, if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. He was given a hard message right here. This wasn't an easy pill to swallow. He was meddling in their lives. He had to. He says, if I'm a master, where's my fear? Where's the respect that you're supposed to give me? How do you not recognize who I am? The priests had gone so wayward that it wasn't even evident who they were serving. It wasn't even evident who that they were supposed to be guiding the other people to. He says, where's my fear? You know, today I think truly we treat God like He's a genie in a bottle. Yeah. We treat Him like, hey, well, I need this, so now, hey, it's me, right? There's book and movies, and you'll hear people say, hey, it's me, God. And it's mockery, right? Yeah. But is it not true? We don't look at Him as the creator of all things. We don't look at him as the omnipotent God having all power. We don't look at him as the omnipresent God that he is everywhere at all times. We don't look at him as the omniscient God who knows all things. No, we look at him as the God that is only present when we really need him. Is there anything too great for our God to handle? Is there anything impossible for our God to handle? Well, we've lost sight of that. So much sickness today and difficulties and problems. Pastor, you got me using this hanky and I can't stop using it. And honestly, we think sometimes that it's impossible for God. I was thinking about Brother Larry and his condition and going through dialysis. You know what? You know what goes through most people's minds when they hear someone's on dialysis? That's over. I heard Brother Larry one day, he said, pray for me that God would heal my body. And you know what? Sometimes we go, well, he's clueless. He ain't got a chance. Why not? If we ask that very same God that created the body to fix it, could he not?
Amen.
Lady today wrote me from our services. She said, Pastor, you need to be praying for my son. She sent me a copy of text messages. He's thinking about killing himself. She said, son, Jesus is the answer. Amen. You know what he said? He said, I'm in too deep. I'm in too deep. I can't get out of it. I'd just been talking this morning after we sang a song, and I was sharing with the people part of that song, because sometimes we sing songs, we don't even pay attention to the words. And it said that he is our hope. As long as our God lives, there is hope. And guess what? He's eternal. There is always hope. Would you pray for that young man? Do you believe God can take him out of that pit? Out of that gutter? But you know what? He can do a great work in your life too.
Yes.
Sometimes we give up and we look at our life. We look at lives of loved ones, of friends, and we go, there's no hope. They're in too deep. He says, where is my fear? Do you not remember who I am? Am I not the God of this universe? Am I not the God that measures the universe with the palm of my hand? Am I not that man? Am I not that great God? Am I not the perfect, all-knowing, all-present God? Where's my fear? Oh, how often we give him our leftovers in our fear. Not only in that, but in our attitude. In our attitude. Look at verse 7. It says, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. First of all, you're giving the wrong thing. And then you say, wherein have we polluted thee? And then ye say, and that ye say, he says, still yet, you're saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. You remember, the priest would get to eat some of the things that were brought to be offered to the Lord. You remember David and his men got to eat some of the bread. First of all, you put something on here, polluted, contaminated bread to offer up, and then you start to complain about the bread that you have to eat. What an attitude. You say, well, how does that apply to us? Well, let me tell you something. What do we often do? We give God the leftovers, and then when we don't get the greatest thing that we've been asking for, we have an attitude about it. He says, what do you offer me? I'm giving you what you have offered me. And their attitude was contemptible. They said, look at what God gives us. Look what the people are bringing us. Our attitude. You know, sometimes, I was talking to a preacher today, and he said, how far do the people have to drive to come to church? I said, 25, 30 minutes so far. That's what people are driving to come to church. And he said, well, that ain't too bad. I said, well, it depends where you live. You know, we were just out in eastern Kentucky, and you can't go to your neighbor's house without driving 25 or 30 minutes. I said, but in the city, that might be a distance. But it also depends on your attitude. I remember one time in Peru, we during pandemic, you know, we weren't allowed to use vehicles. We weren't allowed to drive cars or anything. And we had some people that would come to church about 45 minutes in a taxi. And weren't allowed to take any vehicles or anything. They said, Pastor, we're going to come over for lunch tomorrow. That's 45 minutes in a car. It took them about 2 hours to walk. And they said, we just miss our pastor. We want to be able to talk to you and see you and give you a hug. The attitude was different. You think about things like that, and I don't know about you, but that tugs at my heart. We're able to drive cars. We're able to come to God's house, and sometimes we complain. Do we have to have this many services? Do we have to have it? Now, I get it. We eat, and then we have service. That's tough, especially when you're eating fried chicken, right? We complain. We complain about how we have to serve God, or I don't know why God makes it so hard for me. I don't know why it has to be so difficult. And then when we eat of that very same bread, we complain. We complain. I don't give God the best. I don't know why He won't give me the best. Well, sometimes you get what you pay for, right? That's what I always learned. You get what you pay for. And yet, here's the priest, the one that should know better. Brothers and sisters, this is quite an example of us as believers, the people that should know better. And yet they complained. They gave God the leftovers and their attitude. I want you to see in their giving. They gave the leftovers in their giving. Verse 8, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? I think the Lord has a bit of a sense of humor in the way He presents this next phrase. He says, offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Would you give that to a governor? You know, we were doing a men's Bible study and a book study on Thursday nights. And I love it. Brother Brian, he knows, and Brother Danny, Brother Jay, and Brother Bill. It was great. It was great. And there was a part in the book where the author, he said, could you imagine getting a phone call from the White House? Now, I can't imagine that, even that part right there, you know. And I think it's a joke, even if it was the president, probably. But you imagine getting a phone call from the White House. And as much as you like or dislike the man that sits in that office, they call you and they say, hey, you know what? The president's coming to town. And he wants to have lunch in somebody's home that's from that town, and so you've been selected to have him over for lunch. Now, we can joke all we want, but you know what? If we got that call, we'd have him come to our home. Now, what the conversation might look like, I don't know. But could you imagine, you call your wife and you say, "Hey, honey, you won't believe what just happened. And the President of the United States is coming over for lunch." And she says, "Oh, that's great. We have some leftover meatloaf in the fridge. And then you remember that bean casserole I made on Wednesday? Well, no one really touched it, so we could serve that." Could you imagine saying, "Oh, we're just going to serve the President of the United States some leftover food that no one else wanted to eat?" He says, look at the ridiculousness of your sacrifice. I mean, is it not obvious the things that you sacrifice? It's interesting because when we sacrifice things that are just left over or don't cost us, guess what it is? I'll tell you what it's not. It's not sacrifice. Sacrifice means that it cost us something. They weren't willing to give God something that cost them. No, they wanted to give him the absolute leftovers. The meaningless giving. He says, "Now offer it to thy governor. Will he be pleased or accept thy person?" If you couldn't make a man happy with this meaningless, hurtful, sinful sacrifice, why in the world would you think you could offer it to the Almighty God? And yet, that is our dilemma. So what must be done? This is our last point, change. Change. That looks a little different than the leftovers inside the Tupperware. That's actually a Peruvian dish we call lomo saltado. I made that. Don't ask me to make it for you. It's hard work. Fresh food looks a lot better, doesn't it? Because God demands change, that we give him something better. Look at the word of God says there in verse 9 and 10. "And now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us." Get on your knees and ask God to be gracious. He says, "This hath been by your means." You've brought this upon yourself. Will he regard your persons? We understand the scripture. He's no respecter of persons, is he? Saith the Lord of hosts, "Who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand." If this is the path that you will take, if you continue to offer this leftover attitude, fear, honor, and giving, "I will not accept an offering from your hand." Yeah. Folks, sometimes we wonder why God does not accept what we offer. But it's time we open our hands to see what we are offering to him. He didn't call us, he didn't save us so that we would give him the measly leftovers. He wants the first fruits. He wants the very best. After all, that's exactly what he gave us. Pastor.